Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you all on this Maundy Thursday, this Thursday of the new commandment. One announcement that I have is that we had made plans. The Transformation 2.0 team had sort of made plans to invite folks to go to the Pieselberg fish fry tomorrow night. So if you want to go, let me know, or we can all go together in a group, and if you can't go, that's fine, because it's, I think I announced it Sunday. Well, maybe I forgot it Sunday. Anyway, but if you want to go, it should be an interesting time. So it supports the Pieselberg Fire Department. What do you think? 6 o'clock? 5:30? Yeah, 5:30 or 6. Say 6 o'clock? Okay. So, you know, let me or Bill know, or just show up here about 6 o'clock. We'll go down there. So, let us now begin our evening of worship. Grace to you all in peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us worship God together. On Ash Wednesday, we began our Lenten journey. Today we remember the night of our Lord's betrayal, which led to his death.
We remember that he was human as we are human, and yet overcame death to live again. Thanks be to God.
Let us sing together number 85, What Wondrous Love Is This? Our first reading this evening comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 and 11 through 14. This reading is designed to remind us that it was on Passover that Jesus and his disciples met for the last time and ate their last meal together. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Give these instructions to the whole community of Israel. On the 10th day of this month, each man must choose either a lamb or a young goat for his household. If his family is too small to eat a whole animal, he and his next door neighbor may share an animal in proportion to the number of people and the amount that each person can eat. You are to eat it quickly, for you are to be dressed for travel with your sandals on your feet and your walking stick in your hand. It is the Passover festival to honor me, the Lord. On that night, I will go through the land of Egypt, killing every firstborn male, both human and animal, and punishing all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood on the doorpost will be a sign to mark the houses in which you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you and will not harm you when I punish the Egyptians. You must celebrate this day as a religious festival to remind you of what I, the Lord, have done. Celebrate it for all time to come. We now sing hymn number 602, the Song of Zechariah. The gospel lesson is from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. I'm reading from the Good News Bible this evening. It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas, the son of Simeon Iscariot. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and that he was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel around his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" Jesus answered him, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later." Peter declared, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." If I do not wash your feet, Jesus answered, you will no longer be my disciple. Simon Peter answered, Lord, do not wash only my feet then. Wash my hands and head too. Jesus said, anyone who has taken a bath is completely clean and does not have to wash himself except for his feet. All of you are clean except one. Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, all of you except one are clean. After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table. Do you understand what I have just done for you? He said. You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set as an example for you so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slave is greater than his master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a very familiar story. I probably start this sermon out every time that way because it is so familiar. We're here with the disciples. It's the night before the Passover, and they're in the upper room preparing to eat a meal. In fact, they're already sitting around the table, and we have chairs here, but if you can imagine a low table up there in our chancel with Jesus and the disciples sitting around, you know, perhaps, well, the way we see it in Da Vinci's painting is that Jesus is in the middle, and you have John and Peter and James and John, Bartholomew, Judas, he's there too. They probably are not all facing the same direction. But they would be sitting on the floor. And so imagine they're at a low table, and there they are, sitting on the floor. And Jesus gets up. He gets up, breaking the tableau, and he takes off his outer garment, it says, and he wraps himself in a towel, and he gets a basin of water, and he goes around to each one of them and starts to wash their feet. Now, they're sitting down on the ground like this. So it would have been an awkward moment, to say the least. For one thing, because washing the feet of anyone who came to your house, that was a servant's job. That was a job for the lowest person in the household. That was their job for the night when there was a party or a dinner or you had guests at the house. That person stood at the door the whole night and washed people's feet. Because when you had been walking around in the dust, your feet were dirty. And whether the master of the house didn't want your dirty feet all over his house, or it was just a hospitable thing to do, doesn't really matter. What really matters is that Jesus did it to the disciples. He took the place of a servant, and he washed their feet. And this is why Peter was so upset. Jesus, you're taking the place of a servant. Can't imagine. Why are you doing this? You're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to be below me because you're above me. And Jesus is having none of it. Jesus says, unless you let me do this for you, unless you let me serve you, then you're no longer my disciple. That's pretty harsh words. Going to kick him out. I'll kick him out of the posse. And then Peter goes in the opposite direction and says, well, give me a whole bath then. God bless Peter. And Jesus says, no, you know, you're missing the point. I'm doing a servant's job. It isn't the point that your feet get washed. It isn't the point that you need to be washed at all if you've bathed. The point is that I am going to wash your feet. I am going to serve you. And so from there we know what happens. They talk some more, they finish the meal. John doesn't emphasize, by the way, the supper at all. He doesn't, like the other Gospels, he doesn't bring in the words of institution, what we know now as the words of institution. He focuses on the ritual foot washing. And I wonder why he did that. And I wonder why we don't focus on it more. I wonder why that is. Could it be that we're afraid of letting someone serve us? Could it be that we're afraid of our smelly, stinky feet? I know that when Dawn and I, a couple of years ago, first started talking about doing this, I was averse. I was quite averse. But I have since come around. Because if we can't let Jesus do this for us, or if we can't let Dawn do this for us, or if we can't let the Pope do this for us, how can we do it for other people? If we can't be willing to serve, to be served, then how can we learn to serve by Jesus? How can we learn to serve others? Think about that for just a minute. So we get to the end of the story, and I didn't read the very end, because the very end of the story, well, not the very end of the story, but the last little bit that you're supposed to read with this is where Jesus says, I give to you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you know what he was talking about? He was talking about washing their feet. He was talking about washing their feet. Among other things, I'm sure. But if you think about the context of how he said that, what he said, when he says, love one another as I have loved you, he means serve one another as I have served you. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a servant. Now, servant in our day is a little charged. We have things like Downton Abbey that show us what one way that servants can be. And we also have the stigma of slavery hanging over our country, which causes a lot of trouble. But those two things are not the kind of service that Jesus is talking about here, because those are services, well, the slave, of course, is the person owns them, so they have no choice. And in the case of servants such as at Downton Abbey or waiting on a table in a restaurant, those people are being paid. But the kind of service that Jesus is talking about is the kind of service that you just give. That you just say, you look like you need a hug today. Or, you know, it looks like you haven't had a chance to wash your clothes in a while. Or, many other things. And so I guess what I want us to take away from this Maundy Thursday, and it may not be different, But it is a reminder to love one another. To love one another as Jesus has loved us. To love one another completely as much as we love Jesus. And so we have two things that we're going to do tonight. We have the opportunity to do. One is we have the ritual foot washing that Dawn is going to perform. And on the table here with the black tablecloth, I have some strips of paper laid out. And if you're waiting to have your feet washed, or if you're still uncomfortable with that, you can come and take two strips of paper and write a thought about how in this coming year you're going to live into Jesus' command to love one another. It may be a specific person. It may be the world in general. But write what you're going to do to fulfill Jesus' command to love one another. And then I want you to take one of those home with you. Put it on your refrigerator or in a book as a bookmark or something where you will see it and remember it. And I want you to take the other one, and there's some tape right there. Tape it to the cross so that it will be there as an offering to Jesus. An offering in his name. An offering that shows our commitment to following, to living into his commandment. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Maundy Thursday, on this evening of the new commandment, we offer ourselves to you, and we offer ourselves to each other, and we offer ourselves to the world. May we remember the service that you gave to your disciples, and may we take seriously what it means to love and serve you by loving and serving others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, you may come forward for a foot washing and to think about Jesus' command to love one another and write that up on some paper. So please come forward. Our invitation to the table this evening is read responsively, and it's from Psalm 11. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice in my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and holy Lord, we thank you for the bountiful feast that you have provided for us in this bread and this wine, the same that we will share in the same way that Jesus shared the last meal with his disciples. Lord, you created the earth and you put us in it to live together in harmony and to love each other. But over and over we have turned from you. Until Christ came along, we were given a way to reconnect with you, to reconcile with you, to have a complete relationship with you once again. And so tonight, as we take this meal with the words of the new commandment echoing in our ears, that we are to love one another as Jesus loved us, may we truly be thankful. May we truly feel your presence. May we open our eyes and our hearts to the ways we may serve and love as Jesus served and loved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The words of institution will be spoken together. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Shed it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." pray. God of many mysteries, thank you. We thank you for the mystery that is this meal, the bread that is Christ's body for us, the wine that is Christ's blood for us, the meal that nourishes us, that makes us a part of the body of Christ and brings us together in Holy Communion. Help us to take this feeling of community back into the world and share it with all of those that we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. After I read Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50, we will begin to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, verses 3 and 4. And as we sing, if some folks will come forward and help me strip the church of all of the effects, all of the liturgical symbols. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50. Jesus was still speaking when Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs and sent by the chief priests and the elders. The traitor had given the crowd a signal. The man I kiss is the one you want. Arrest him. Judas went straight to Jesus and said, "Peace be with you, teacher," and kissed him. Jesus answered, "Be quick about it, friend." Then they came up, arrested Jesus, and held him tight.